It was written by a young man who would be king of Israel. He was raised in the outdoors. He was used to being outside. And he faced many adversity in his life as a shepherd. And he wrote these words, and he describes his relationship with the Lord. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we gather here, we ask a special blessing be upon the family. We ask you to bless Claudia as we gather here this afternoon on this beautiful day that you have made. Let this family know that in life there are circles that must be completed. We are born to the Lord and we die unto the Lord. And to his judgment and mercy we are called. We thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity we have to express love, to come together as family, as faith, as fellowship. We thank you for this place that you have given to us to call home. Lord, we ask that you bless this time together, that we may grow in grace together. We may come to know the love of Christ in every way at this moment of transition. Lord, let us know that the tears that we cry are tears of hope. Not only tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. And these tears indeed are part of our love that binds us. Lord, we know the adversity that he went through in life. But as his hard work has afforded him, his labors here on earth are done. We ask that you bless him in his heavenly way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I invite the family to come and to share in music. Let us listen with our hearts.
The day when the faith shall be served. So Grandma had asked if anybody in the family wanted to share something about Papa. And of course, I knew that I wanted to, and Haley did too. And I wrote some stuff down, but I don't even think I'm going to look at it. But I knew I wanted to share one memory that I've had of Papa. And as you all know, in July 24th of 2013, he suffered a stroke that would change his life drastically from what he knew before. But that didn't surprise God, because obviously God had a plan for that stroke. But when we all gathered at the ER, I had obviously given my life to the Lord, and all I could think about was I wanted to make sure that Papa knew without a doubt that he was saved, and the Lord laid it on my heart. And I went back to the ER, and Papa couldn't talk because the stroke was so damaging to his speech, and we really didn't know what condition he would be in. So I knew that it was something I needed to do. And in that room, I asked Papa if he knew for sure that he was going to go to heaven when he died, and I just wanted to clear that up. And he couldn't talk, but he shook his head yes, and we had some more words. But I know that that day he shored up his salvation, and that is a blessing to me that I got to share that with him. But on a day like today, where we're remembering him, I know without a doubt, because I'm saved, that I'll get to see him again. And even though it's sad today, because he was such a great guy and such a good family man, and you'll hear, I'm sure, but he was, you know, a simple man. He didn't have many words to say, but we knew he loved us, and he loved his grandkids. They were his world, and we know that just by his actions that he loved us, and I'm so grateful that the Lord saw fit to give me this family that's here today representing Papa. But Grandma, I just want to tell you what a blessing you are for the last 4 years of how you watched over him and you cared for him and you stuck by him day and night. You were a good example of what Jesus Christ is to us, and you never left his side. And I know that even though we don't understand why he had to suffer that stroke and his quality of life might have changed, but I know that God had a plan, and I know that we saw more love in those 4 years than we could ever see. And you know, Papa, he didn't, I know whenever I was growing up, I don't remember him giving me tons of kisses, but the last 4 years, when you would tell him bye, he would just want to kiss you and kiss you and kiss you and not want to let you go. And finally, you just kind of had to pull away, but it's been a blessing to be able to share those moments with him, and I know that all of y'all have such great memories of Papa, but I'm so thankful to know that he's saved. He's in heaven. He's not having to go through the struggles that he did the last 4 years. But I'll pass it over to Haley now.
He was a very good man. He was loved by many. He loved all his kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids, and of course his lovely wife. I share lots of memories with him, like him picking me up from kindergarten in the white truck, as we called it. Then him taking me and my sister to get push-ups at Tony's. I remember him riding on the tractor, me on the tractor, and me being outside with him 24/7. My grandma told me a story about how he popped me one time on the leg, and I burst into tears, not because it hurt, but because it hurt my feelings. That day, he promised no matter what I did, he would never lay a hand on me again, and he didn't. Papa Ray, aka Farmer Ray, he was a good, sweet, kind, caring, and tough man. He and my grandma helped look after me when I was little, and I'm thankful for that. Papa loved to hunt and fish. He would be gone for days out fishing when I was little. I caught my first fish with him at a pond on T. Johnson Road. This is a day I will never forget. In fact, all the memories I have, I will always remember, and they will forever be in my heart. All of us will remember the memories, and we will cherish them forever. Papa Ray was my heart, and will be missed dearly by lots of us. But we know he is in a much better place. There will be no more rolling around in a wheelchair up there. Up there, he can walk, dance, shout, and be so happy. There will be no more pain for him. 11/17 is a date that will always be in my heart. We love you, Papa. I will do everything in my power to make you happy. Don't let them boys outfish you up there. By the way, I will keep my promise to look after Grandma for you.
Amen. Well, the Lord gives us memories. That's His gift to us at a time like these, when we can have memories and think about our lost loved ones. And we've already saw a lot of pictures, and like every picture, y'all was eating a lot. So I don't know what y'all do a lot of eating. I know that when you get together, but 12 grandchildren and 23 great-grandchildren, you're bound to do a lot of eating. And some nice fishes. And the deer could have been a better. Y'all could have probably had a little better shot on those deer, but the fish were big. And so, you know, before I go into preaching the gospel to you, they've asked me, Miss Claudia, to just preach the gospel to you. And I want to do that, be faithful to do that. It's a good time to do that. Heard a lot of stories yesterday around the table about Brother Ray. Not so sure all of them were true. I hate not to mention a few of them. I know the girls said he was a good supervisor. He liked to get them going and working, and then he'd just kind of slip off and go check on something, leave y'all working. So that's their story. So I'm not sure if that's fact or fiction, but we kind of talked about him a little bit. But as they said, he was an avid fisherman and hunter. Loved his grandchildren, and that was obvious from the pictures and the grandchildren here this morning. I think we could all see that and how much he liked to watch them play ball or whatever it was. He loved his outdoors and his grandchildren and his family. And you know, for those that are saved, like Brother Ray, it's hard for us to imagine, but the greatest day that we live is the last day. That's the day we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we don't always look at it that way. They didn't always look at it that way in the scriptures. In John chapter 14, Jesus talking to his disciples, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Then he said this. He said, "And whether I go, you know, and the way I go, you know." And Thomas spoke up. You know, and Thomas, he like myself, like to put his foot in his mouth sometimes. And he said, "Jesus, how can we know whether you're going, and how can we know the way?" And he said, "Thomas," he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me." And so there's a few things there he was talking about. If you were to read the Gospel of John there in chapter 13, you would see that it's the last night that he's going to spend with the best friends that he ever had on the world, his family. And he's talking about his death, and he's talking about what's going to happen the next day on the cross there at Calvary. And they just get tired, I believe, of hearing him talk about him going away and dying, and they get a look on their face. I believe the Lord saw that look. It was a troubled look. It was a look of fear. It was a look of anxiety. Because, you know, this hadn't changed 2,000 years later. We don't like to talk about death. I tell this all the time. I like to look at these surveys in these magazines, and every year they come out with the top 10 fears of America. And they have some people that are feared of alien abduction. That's their biggest fear in life. I hope that's not your biggest fear in life this morning. Some people fear spiders, snakes. People have all kind of fears, ISIS and terrorism. But every year I look at it, the number one fear is always the same. What is that fear, you bet? It's death, isn't it? Everybody fears it, doesn't it? It's what all of us will face one day if the Lord doesn't return. When death comes around and grabs hold of us, and we're going to have to deal with that and face that, isn't it? And these disciples had a look, I imagine, that was troubled. And so Jesus tries to reaffirm them because, you know, he knows in his heart and in his mind that, you know, this time next week, I won't be here. You see, he's the only one that knew his last breath and the last time he would see them. He knew very well. And so he's trying to comfort them because he knows they'll never sail across the Sea of Galilee again together. They'll never fellowship around the table here on earth. They'll never be at Simon the leper's house. They'll never see Martha and Mary together again. And they're going to be a parting of ways, so to speak, because he's going to die and ascend back to heaven. And so he's trying to comfort them with these words, "Let not your heart be troubled." But then there's a catch to it. He makes it so clear, doesn't he? He said, the way you know and how to get there, you know. And he reminds them, he says, listen, I'm the way. In other words, what he's saying is, you have to trust in me. You have to believe in me. You have to be washed in the blood. You have to have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ to be where I'm going to be. Because where I'm going to be is a place of many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And then he says, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. The gospel here is clear. You must be born again. You know, it's not our works. It's not our church membership. It's not any of those things. It's simply grace. It's simply something that you can't do. You see, there's a great gulf that's fixed between you and heaven, isn't there? Yeah, there's a great gulf. And you can't get there on your own means. You can't reach there by your works. You must trust one to take you there after you breathe your last breath. I wonder if I look out today and could see hearts like the Lord can see a heart. He already knows, doesn't he? Which one of us are saved, which one have trusted, which one know where they're going when they leave here. When you're saved, you know the great fears in your life are dissipated. Maybe you were like I used to be, and I'd lay in bed at night and think about death. Think about eternity sometimes. Think about where will I go when I breathe my last breath. And you see, Brother Ray settled that there. And when you settle something like that, you have a promise from Christ, a promise from God that can't be broken. And so if you're saved, as you hear the sound of my voice, you've not seen the last of Papa. You've not seen the last of Grandpa. You've not seen the last of a friend. Listen, there'll be a reunion day in heaven for those of us that are saved. But just like the promises of God are sure to those that trust in Him through His precious Son, Jesus Christ, the promises are just as sure of another place. I'm going to see Brother Ray again, not because of anything I've done, but because what he's done and what I've done with Jesus Christ. And as sad as today is, family, let me just speak to you. As sad as today is, and you know, death is a sad situation, isn't it? We grieve, and God gives us that grieving process that we might go on and carry on. But if you don't know Jesus, as we're gathered here together, you have seen the last of Grandpa. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No, what he said, no man can come to me. Not no preacher, not no deacon, not no good guy. None of that stuff will cut it. He says, I am the way. Do you know him? I mean, you have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about know of him. The devils know of him and tremble. You see, there's about, someone has said there's about 18 inches between heaven and hell. Everybody knows, don't they? Everybody knows about God. Everybody knows there's a God. You can look out and see the things that are made. You look at a sunset. You look at the trees. You look at creation that Brother Ray enjoyed so much. You look at that and you say, there must be a God. You see, that's head knowledge. That's not good enough to get you to heaven. It's got to be a heart knowledge. It's got to be a receiving of the gospel according to the Word of God. To know about Him is not good enough. But to know Him is more than enough. You see, there's a difference. I want to encourage you, if you're in the sound of my voice, to make preparations, to make that sure. If he could, Brother Ray would take all his family with him. Who wouldn't? Everybody wants to go to heaven. If I would say everybody in here that wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. We'd all raise our hands, wouldn't we? Sure we would. And if I could take you to heaven, I would take you. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. But I can't do it either. The only one that can is Jesus Christ, and you'll trust in Him. That's serious business, isn't it? When we talk about this morning, it's serious. And I hope you've taken it serious. We'll be praying for you. Appreciate this family, how tight you are, how close you are. That's wonderful to have that. You'll need that in the days and weeks and months ahead. Well, it's good to have a shoulder to lean on. But I want to tell you, in your darkest hour, when no comfort can be found, in the same John 14, Jesus said, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you have that peace with you this morning? I hope you have that peace that passes all understanding this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Father, for your word. Lord, you've made it so simple, Lord, that even a child can understand it, Lord God. You've made it so clear for us, Lord Father, and you've made a way for us through Calvary, through the precious blood of Jesus, through a resurrected Savior that sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession. I'm thankful this afternoon for this family, for their closeness to one another. And I pray, Lord Father, that there be not one of them that would leave this place not making preparations for that great reunion one day. And so we thank you and we praise you for how good you are to us, dear Lord. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Indeed, what a beautiful sharing of the gospel through music, song, prayer, and message. Come together and to know that love binds us. For all you grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you have been blessed. Always remember and know how important this is, that God is good all the time. He holds each one of us in his hands, and he loves us so much. And he wants us to make it home. He wants us to make it home. I invite you now to stand as the family will leave. We'll meet you at the cemetery for the interment ceremony.